Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So, we watched Raw this week.
We did.
After Raw last week.
Yes.
I feel like we deserve a medal.
Just the fact that we came back.
Yes.
That we returned.
Yes.
I mean, we might as well, because what else are we going to talk about on the podcast?
I don't know.
More John Cena rants? We already went in that well.
We'll just bang action figures together.
Just like you just bump into the mic?
Yes. Just like that. So we started off Raw with a CM Punk match. That was nice.
That's a good way to improve.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get us, you know, back into
it. Yeah, that really softened the blow, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
I really want to, and not to just go off on the same tirade about Cena and Sandow happening again, because...
Jesus, thank you.
That's happened, and I'm trying to move on.
Because we want to maintain friends with certain people.
Yes. But I wanted to compare these two opening matches. Both of them have an established superstar.
Yes.
Going up against a fairly new guy. Trying to climb a ladder.
With a beard.
With a beard.
Yes.
Obviously in both cases... Here's the thing, and why I really like the CM Punk match and I didn't like the John Cena match.
Okay.
Part of it is that I knew CM Punk had to win. I don't think his opponent was high up on the ladder as Damian Sandow's was.
True.
They had clearly shown a willingness to invest in Damian Sandow because of giving him the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yes.
No such thing had happened to any member of the Wyatt family yet.
Correct.
So it was more clear to me that CM Punk had to win. Both guys did make their opponents look good, you know?
True.
So, that happened, and, you know, in trying to, like, throw positives at the Cena-Sandow thing. He did, you know, make Sandow look really good. CM Punk made Luke look really, really good.
Yeah.
CM Punk ended in a roll-up.
Yeah, but it was one of those things where, when you think about it...
The reason it happened
is because, you know, Luke had to join in on the beatdown on CM Punk afterwards, and he couldn't really do that if he's, you know, if he's trying to still sell a GTS.
Mm-hmm. But my big question for you is, am I being unfair? And I don't know the honest answer to this. Am I being unfairly biased towards CM Punk always has good matches, so I like this, and boo John Cena, so I hate this match?
No, I think it's totally fair. Mainly because there was really nothing on the line of this match.
You know?
It was just further establishing a feud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with John Cena and Damian Sandow, they didn't have to have him cash in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do that, but yet they still did. And they still wanted to put John Cena over. Like, they still wanted him to look like Superman.
Yeah.
So I still think it's fair to criticize... You know, and I don't think it's because of any sort of bias one way or the other.
All right.
So I'm here to clear your conscience.
Thank you.
I have absolved you.
Because I was sitting there being like, yeah, that's how you do it, CM Punk, making a guy look good.
Right.
Well, Damian Sandow did look good.
Well, yeah.
I just hate Cena. Maybe I've unknowingly climbed to that bandwagon.
Cena did make Sandow look good last week. I'm not denying that. It's just...
It was
the outcome,
it was something
and the way
was
they
the
went
line.
About the outcome, and the fact that it was for Money in the Bank when it really didn't have to be.
Yeah, something was on the line.
They could have just had Damian just come out and beat up Cena and just not cash in, but to still have a match.
And somebody, Maddox or somebody, come and declared it now a match.
Right.
So, okay. Good, I feel better.
Okay, I'm glad.
Plus, now I can unabashedly segue into, and then we got... Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in the same ring, being best friends forever.
Yes, we did get that.
Gonna be the best spinoff ever. Road trip show. That's the theme song to the road trip show about Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
And to think that you're the one that came up with the words to the brilliant male sax song.
As they traverse the land.
I'm guessing in a Winnebago.
Sure. Trying different local cuisines.
No, I think they need to be driving a Beetle.
Works for me, too.
They're smaller guys. They can make it work.
Yep. Oh, man. So, yeah, they're going to be best friends now forever and going to team up with the Wyatts.
Of course. I mean, and they also alluded, Punk alluded in a interview with the wonderful Renee Young. Oh, don't make that face.
With this face?
You knew it was happening. he also alluded that, I'm not the only one that the Wyatts have pissed off, Mm-hmm. I mean, he could be alluding to Daniel Bryan. They could be alluding to some more people.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, I still think it's leading to a traditional Survivor Series
Somebody's got to have a Survivor Series match.
Might as well.
So, it's my favorite match of the year.
I don't know about my favorite match of the year, because that still goes to Rumble, but...
Okay, Rumble takes it always forever, right. Because it's the Rumble.
But I do thoroughly enjoy the traditional Survivor Series match.
But I like the setup of Survivor Series match. I wish they would do that more. It feels like something that doesn't have to be contained.
Yeah, but the thing is, the closer we get to Survivor Series, we're going to get a lot of those matches to set up for it.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it happens, we're sick of them.
Yeah.
And then we'll continue to get them after the fact.
I've never been sick of Survivor Series matches. And honestly, my favorite Survivor Series match happened at SummerSlam. It was the Team WWE versus Nexus.
It should have... Well, yeah, it's one of the things. It should have happened at Survivor Series, but it made sense in the storyline to do it that way.
Yeah. But that's how that match, that feud should have played out. Up to that point, that was a really well done feud.
Absolutely.
I kind of feel bad that, a lot of times it feels like the Survivor Series match kind of gets shafted into, it's necessary kind of thing. We have to have this 5-versus-5 match because it's Survivor Series. So I do wish that they would kind of put more effort into that. So I'm hoping that they're doing that year, but I hope that every year. So who knows?
Of course.
Other stuff that happened on Raw. Let's see.
Biggie got voted to be in a match.
Biggie got voted to be in a match.
Was really
good. He looked good. Has my new favorite spear.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the spear that Biggie delivers.
Okay. You want to set it up for the folks listening at home?
Go back.
No, I meant
and watch.
That's not what I meant. What was about the spear that you liked so much?
It was intense. It looked like it hurt.
Like big circus tents?
Intense. Oh yeah, I did say intense, didn't I? it was a good spear. Spears are like a common move.
Yeah.
And
the fact that he has your favorite one now is saying a lot, because Roman Reigns is just masterful at it.
Looks pretty good too. And honestly though, Caitlyn might have been my favorite before this.
Well, that's also because, 9 times out of 10, it's AJ the
she
one
was
that's
hitting
selling
AJ, and AJ sells has the ability of a folding chair.
Right, yeah. So, a very bendy, foldy chair.
Mm-hmm. So, but no, it just kind of came out of the woodworks. Big E hit this beautiful spear on Randy Orton.
Okay.
So, he just looked really good doing it.
All right.
So,
I wasn't, trying to say it wasn't. I'm just trying to paint a picture for the crowd listening at home.
All right. Carry on. What else? Are we just stalling for time until we can get to the end?
We might be.
Okay. other boring stuff that happened. Big Show and Randy Orton are going to have a match at Survivor Series.
In a very, very long, slow main event moment.
Yes.
It took them forever to get to the point.
Yes.
It involved Big Show walking to the ring and walking away from the ring, and then walking back to the ring. So you know how slow that is.
Yeah, which is always
and the fact that then they announced the match that was at 11:04.
11:04, they announced a match
4 minutes after they should have gone off the air.
Yes. So
they're using every bit of that runoff that they possibly can get.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Big Show going after Randy Orton?
I mean, who else? What other face, because obviously they're pulling Daniel Bryan in a different direction, mm-hmm. What other face that isn't doing anything that they could easily insert in there? I know who we would want. We would want Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
But that's our own personal bias.
Own personal bias is Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
Genuine arguments could be made for CM Punk.
Well, yeah, if we didn't know that he was being pulled in the same direction as Daniel Bryan. Yeah. But, I mean, again, it's one of those things where we've had this whole thing going on with Big Show for the past month and a half, 2 months thing. Mm-hmm. So, it's finally, finally coming to a head, because by God, I'm getting tired of just all this shenanigans coming with Big Show, coming from the crowd and all that stuff. I'm finally ready for this to actually have some sort of point.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. I'm tired of this happening.
I don't know how I want this to play out. I've never been a huge fan of Big Show in the main event. You know, I like the guy, I like his in-ring work, but it feels like he has the niche, and I like him better there.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, well, he works better against bigger guys, I think. Like, his work with Mark Henry was shockingly great.
Okay, Blair might have something to say about
that. I know, but I liked it.
Okay.
It was weirdly entertaining for me. Like, the Rumble match, the Rumble Cage match.
I'll agree with you that it was weird.
The Rumble match with Daniel Bryan, Big Show, and Mark Henry.
That was a good match. Good match. That was also, Daniel Bryan had something to do with that.
He had something to do with that, but Big Show did too.
I'm not going to give him, I'm not going to absolutely just, you know, void him of all credit.
I think he's done good, but I think, okay, let me reamend that statement then.
Okay.
Because thinking of, like, the other things that are, like, I think some of Big Show's best work has been in triple threat matches. That match. He had a thing with CM Punk and
Cena. At SummerSlam 2, like, not this past...
During Punk's reign.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's also, you know, does great in matches where he's, you know, under a pile of rubble for a while.
Yeah. He's always been fairly impressive in
Money
in the Bank matches.
I think he does fine when he doesn't have to shoulder
when it's not a singles match.
When he doesn't have to shoulder at least half of the responsibility, I think he's good.
So I'm not super looking forward to this match. I'm not dreading it.
No, and again, like I said, it makes sense within the story. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's coming out of nowhere.
No, yeah. Obviously, they're heading this way. I get that. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. And obviously, there's other storylines going on that we are more interested in right now.
Yes.
Specifically, anything involving Daniel Bryan and CM Punk being, you know, in a team together.
Best friends forever.
Yes,
going on a road trip.
The new Mega Powers.
Excited? Yes.
You're going to forget those lyrics by next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'll
have new lyrics.
Always. That's the charm of the show.
Now we don't remember what we did last week, so we just come up with new stuff?
No. The sitcom / crime-solving cop show that Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are the stars of.
Okay.
It has a new theme song every week, because it's a mystery. Try and keep up, Chris.
I thought it was a road trip across America.
It is, but with crime.
Like a traveling murder she wrote?
Yes.
Because Lord knows, not that much stuff happened in that tiny little town in, what, Maine?
I don't remember what Murder, She Wrote happened.
Me neither. I was like 5.
What are we actually talking about?
Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah. So, and not to continually draw comparisons to the Attitude Era and right. to the, you know, Austin and Vince right. thing. But I don't want Big Show to be the Austin of this version
this story,
of that story.
Yeah.
You know,
like, the fans won't allow that to happen, just in their own hearts and minds. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like,
he's a huge dude. He, you know, it's really hard to paint him as
he already drove a giant vehicle.
He did already drive a giant vehicle. It's really hard to paint him as the underdog when he can genuinely just punch his way out of things.
Right, like he can have the entire Shield on his back and he just hooray,
yes.
I'm out of it.
Yeah, he blows through the Shield with the greatest of ease.
Just by standing up.
Yeah, which is why it's really good that we have... Drum roll. Kane's back.
Kane is back. Corporate Kane.
Citizen Kane.
Suit and tie.
Yeah.
Suit, tie. Got that suit.
Do you think suit and tie should be his entrance theme music?
Why not? I mean, okay, and I still, even though Joel likes to pretty much downplay this, I called this last week. I don't know if I called it on the podcast, but I called it in our own conversations that wouldn't it be cool if Kane just kind of came out in the full-on corporate suit and tie thing?
Yeah.
I called it.
Yes.
Send me the balloons now.
No. No balloons for you.
Why not?
Because balloons are expensive.
Okay. Not balloons not filled with helium.
Okay.
Okay.
Those are condoms. So.
Yes. Yeah, so, moving on.
First of all, we have to have a name for this version of Kane. I'm okay with just Glenn Jacobs. I'm okay if they just literally call him Glenn Jacobs.
Or like what you said on, because you were on our Twitter last night, you called it like corporate with a K.
Yeah, corporate Kane. Corporate Kane with a K, Mortal Kombat style.
So I do like alliteration.
Or Citizen Kane. I really like Citizen Kane.
But WWE came with that on their own.
Oh, did they?
Like WWE, like one of their other Twitter accounts.
I'll check.
From their subsidiary Twitter account.
If that's what it says on WWE.com, no, I squish it.
Okay.
Although technically, WWE did come up with Team Friendship.
They just didn't run with it. Yeah.
So, I will...
Yeah, and his name's spelled the same way as the movie. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Citizen Kane.
We got to stick Citizen Kane in the running. So, those are my three right now.
Yeah.
Corporate Kane, Citizen Kane, or Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, I'll go with Citizen Kane, just because I love the movie.
All right, fair enough. Citizen Kane is our working title for the new suit and tied Kane.
Let it be known throughout the land, just as you are continually spreading the word of Kodust.
Yes. Throughout the realm.
Throughout the realm with Hodor.
So, things about this that I'm intrigued in.
Yes.
One, this is what I want Big Show to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Big Show and Citizen Kane fighting each other.
Yeah.
I'm fully all about that.
Would his ring attire be the same?
Whose?
Kane's?
No.
What would it be then?
I fight in a suit.
Okay.
Fight in a suit.
That might be a little restricting and uncomfortable.
Without the tie.
Oh, okay.
Without the tie. That just leads to problems. Like open collar. Suit.
Like Gentleman Playboy Kane.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, he doesn't still have the tie hanging. The tie is all the way gone.
Oh, okay. And I guess Gentleman Playboy Kane would be with an ascot.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Did I just create a new character?
Gentleman Playboy Kane. Gentlemen, start your WWE 2K14 character creations.
Do it.
Yeah, this will obviously next week have something. They'll like have an interview, or mm-hmm. they'll have like a, you know, Kane will get the mic.
And the thing is, Kane really didn't even do a whole lot. He basically was a distraction for the match to you know, break Big Show's concentration, and then basically just kind of called the shots and, like, you know, gave the Shield shares, you know, told them what all they needed to do, and that was it. And to be honest with you, he felt more like the insurance policy. Rick Rude in DX.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he felt like, which I'm okay with, because Kane could definitely play that character.
Yeah.
You know, we got, you know, the, you know, charismatic Kane pretty much out of our system with Team Friendship, so, I mean, now we can go with the stoic, business-like Kane.
That's the thing, is I was really a little upset, because Kane wasn't masked for very long this time. It doesn't seem.
Oh, since...
He got masked in February of 2012.
No, it was before that.
No, because it was when he was coming back for the Feel the Hate thing for John Cena, which was right before the Once in a Lifetime.
I thought that was in December.
It might have been in December. It was somewhere in that month, that little time frame. Because
I thought it was just before TLC... And that was the pay-per-view that didn't have a Cena match at all.
That didn't have a Cena match?
Like, Cena was not in it at all.
Is that when Kane came back? Because
then that's when... Because then they had a match at Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Before the Royal Rumble. And then Elimination Chamber's when they had the final ambulance match.
Okay.
In February.
That's fair.
Okay.
But still, it's right in that time. So,
well, yeah,
December 2011. It's...
Yes.
It's been just over a year. Or a year and a half, I guess.
Something like that, yeah.
But Kane's been gone for a while. So,
yes.
But yeah, so the mask is gone. But at the same time, that mask is forever associated with Team Friendship.
It is, plus, you know, I'm assuming he was in See No Evil 2 without the mask, just like the first one was. Mm. And that's the whole reason why they unmasked him the first time, because he was unmasking the movie.
Yeah.
So.
They want to see it.
There you go. So that plays into that.
You need to see his face. You can throw in face of the company references.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense to unmask him. Plus, we get this new interesting character. So I'm all mm-hmm. for it. I'm not bemoaning the decision.
I'm all for the Senator Glenn Jacobs character.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's going to be good. It better be good, you guys.
Yeah.
Other stuff that happened on Raw. Oh, Tyson Kidd came back.
Oh, that's right. Holy God. I was just... How did you put it one time when you... pants tidingly excited about this?
Yes.
Yes.
It was awesome.
It was. And you know what? Don't even care that it was basically to promote Total Divas. The whole, you know, build up attention from their wedding, from, you know, the end of last season of Total Divas. I don't even care. The guy's in the ring. He looked great in the ring.
Yeah. Tyson Kidd's back.
Tyson Kidd's back. Like, that's great.
About time.
Absolutely. And he has, like, real people hair.
Yes. It was a little wet.
Well, yeah, but...
I mean, do think he was in Triple H's shower when the bell rang, and he's like, oh, no.
And he did kind of spend some time in the Orton baby oil mixer.
So, but I got to watch Tyson Kidd fight Johnny Curtis.
Yeah.
It was a good feeling. They
both looked good.
They did.
That's what it is. Maybe Fandango just needs to fight Tyson Kidd.
I would watch that.
I'd watch it all day. Maybe we should have Tyson Kidd just fight Curtis Axel. Because that was the one match in NXT that we really liked at NXT Redemption was Michael McGillicuddy and Tyson Kidd. It's a really good match. So maybe that is what Curtis Axel needs.
It's Tyson
elevate.
Kidd.
Yeah, he needs that to elevate because apparently they had something that worked.
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. I want more Tyson Kidd.
Oh, yeah.
Just slather him over everything. He makes everybody look good.
He does.
He's a great workhorse. Just he's back and he should be on the TV more.
Yep.
I feel that strongly.
And not just on Total Divas. I mean, exactly. he helps make Total Divas bearable.
Oh, of course. No, don't take him off Total Divas.
No, dear Lord. Just, we need more people like that. If they're going to have that show, we need people like that on
Yes,
the show.
More of everything for Tyson.
Speaking of it, it's coming back this Sunday.
Total Divas is coming back this Sunday.
So, be prepared for Chris's Total Divas rants.
Yep.
Again.
Did you miss those? I sure did.
Joel says with clenched teeth.
No, it's fine. Oh, dude, Total Divas is back. It's... I find it really hard to complain about. It hits its niche perfectly.
It does.
It has made, I'm sure... I'm sure there are people whose girlfriends do not understand why they watch wrestling that put up with it now. Like,
right. Because they know certain people. They know some people in the show. And now they see them in the ring.
Yeah. You know,
it serves its purpose.
Exactly. And there's a little bit of, like, who am I to judge? I dedicate this much time to wrestling.
Yeah.
I can only be... I'll be snarky about people who watch E, but I'll only be so snarky.
And let's be completely honest, Joel. You and me, both of us, we pretty much watch around the same amount of wrestling.
Yeah.
And we've also watched the same amount of Gossip Girl.
Yes.
So, in theory, Total Divas is right... up our alley.
Exactly. It is tailor-made for us.
Yes. As much as JoJo gets on my freaking nerves, and other characters that don't mean just JoJo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this should be on paper, should be tailor-made for us.
Yeah. Keep watching it. Because we do.
And if you're sitting there laughing at us over the fact that we watch Gossip Girl, a real man watches Gossip Girl because it's quality.
Watch yourself some Gossip Girl.
It's quality
it's
television.
It's a great television show.
Sure, there's moments that are just like, you know, you'll roll your eyes at, but get past it.
And watch it.
Like, you know, like a choir of young teenage girls sing a cappella versions of a Fergie song. Get over it. It happens early on. And thank goodness they got past it.
You can power through.
This was the Gossip Girl portion of the show.
Now back to your regularly scheduled
Monday Night Raw.
Yes. Well, that's about it for Monday Night Raw for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, all right.
Back to Gossip Girl. Back to TV shows that Joel and Chris like.
I will say, Gossip Girl used to come on a Monday at 8, back before we had 3-hour-long Raws. So that was my Monday night, was Gossip Girl, then Raw.
I mean, I used to do, like, How I Met Your Mother, half hour of just nothing, and then Raw.
Yeah. That's why you should have gotten to Gossip Girl earlier.
I mean, I'm okay with watching How I Met Your Mother. I still like that show better than Gossip Girl.
Before this 3-hour block of Raw happened. I guess we need to mention, it's worth mentioning that we did have Codust and John Cena taking on Real Americans and
Damian
Sandow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a solid match. It was a solid match.
You know. I was unfairly bitter towards Cena still. So.
But we were talking about much more interesting things.
Yes.
During the show. But, so. I mean, come on. It was a great crossover. It was a great crossover of Peter Gabriel and Gene Simmons forming a power band between the two and called them Genicus.
Go read Twitter.
it was funny.
You'll be entertained. No, it was, you know, honestly, it was a really good match.
Yeah.
Of course it was Codust.
Yeah. We got to see Goldust hit his finisher in the match.
Yeah.
That was great. We got to see Cena do that
weird
goofy run across the state or across the ring.
That was my moment. I was like, I can't stay mad at you, Cena. You goofy man.
Yes. You goofy box face weirdo.
So, I'll go ahead and like, I can't stay mad at you.
So you're completely okay with Cena now? All things are forgiven?
I'm kind of back to where I was.
All things are forgiven, totally and completely, you're back in love with him?
Time heals all wounds.
It's been a week.
Yeah. I'm where I was with Cena. And no, I'm still angry about last week.
Okay, so you're not completely back. I'm
still angry about last week.
Okay.
But I can't stay mad at Cena. He runs around the ring like a goofball.
He does. But I don't think a lot of people on the internet feel the same way.
Oh, no. People are probably now madder at him for bringing a comedic element to what's supposed to be a very serious, serious Coldust match. And they forget that Coldust goes and rubs himself.
He does. And there was a point in time where he had Tourette's.
Yes.
Yes.
So, it's... No, I mean... Me and Cena will get through this.
I'm glad. You probably should see a counselor.
This is not the end.
You guys should probably go to, like, a couples therapy or something.
I'll go if Cena goes. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Probably would be the first time when you've been to couples therapy.
Aww.
Divorce humor.
So, no. We'll soldier on. We'll get through this. It will take some time, but that was the moment I was like, alright, we can do this.
As long as you're both willing to work at this relationship.
This is worth fighting. Cena better be willing to work. Because sure. If he's not, if he's just going to keep pinning people I like with one arm literally tied behind his back, then no.
Prepare to be disappointed. Okay. Because I have a feeling it's going to happen.
I do too.
It's going to continue.
I do too. It keeps happening.
Yes.
It can't happen that much more. He's gotta be towards the end of his career. He's gotta have at least made it halfway through his career.
Do you know how old The Undertaker is? Yeah.
Honestly, though, if Cena did it once a year, I wouldn't mind as much.
Probably not, yeah.
If Cena had an Undertaker contract...
I don't think he's there yet. Like,
no,
I don't think
he's obviously not there yet. But if in, you know, 5 years from now, if Cena was coming back once a year to do something at WrestleMania, I would be okay with it.
Alright.
To be fair, I wouldn't automatically vehemently boo if Hogan came back to do something for 30.
Okay.
Like, I know that's not a common thought, but I'd be totally fine if Hogan had a match at WrestleMania 30. I would not be okay if it was a streak match.
No.
I don't even want him in the streak match, not, you know, beyond the risk of him breaking the streak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him in the streak match. And I don't have a good match for Hogan, but on principle, I would not be automatically upset if Hogan had a match at WrestleMania.
Right.
So.
I mean, I wouldn't be thrilled about it. I would understand it because of, it's WrestleMania 30. It's a big celebration.
Yeah.
Still kind of weird that it's not in New York, you know?
It is.
They just couldn't wait one more year to be in New York than just do MetLife next year.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why. But it's not. I could see Hogan and Cena getting an interesting match. But we had Cena and Rock, and that's kind of the exact same thing. So, I don't know. Anyway, this leads into my question of the week.
Okay.
With TNA sputtering, as it is right now, kind of, who in the TNA roster, going through like some of the big names in the TNA roster, big names associated with TNA, who could you see WWE having any interest in signing? Well, not even, you know, not necessarily as a main guy, but like Hogan, you know, would get some sort of Legends contract. Hogan would not be a full-time guy. But would you see them have interest in bringing Hogan back to WWE television?
From a Legends standpoint, yes. I don't think Hogan would really be okay with a Legends contract, because I still think he you know, I think he still believes he's worth a major contract.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
But he'll have more time to promote his web hosting. Hostamania,
yes.
Hostamania, if he has a Legends contract.
Yes. And he would still, you know, get a decent salary from WWE. I don't know. I don't know if he'd be willing to accept a contract like that.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, the one right off the bat, they would love to have Sting.
Yeah.
You know, they would really like to do that, at least one match in the WWE. Whether or not Sting's willing to do that, who knows? You know, he really hasn't wanted to in the past.
I mean,
so I don't know how now makes it any different.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, it's like Sting has never been in WWE.
They have access to WCW footage, but that's as close as it's going to get for right now.
So, to cave and, you know, for I don't know if cave is the right word, but for Sting to actually go ahead and sign that. And he's, you know, reportedly been close several times.
Reportedly, yeah.
But, you know, it has to be something worth that, I would think. Something worth being the most famous guy to have never worked in the WWE.
Yeah. But aside from that, off the top of my head, like, the first one that's always a go-to for me was Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see him in WWE, see some of those matches that he had with CM Punk and, you know, and you know, Daniel Bryan and stuff like that. He's one of those guys who, like, again, I'm not completely knowledgeable on all things TNA or anything, but from what I've gotten, he really should deserve more than what he's getting at TNA.
I've always felt that.
And who's to say, like, you know, in this version with, you know, the theoretics of WWE, like, buying out TNA and buying out contracts and stuff, it's going to be a crowded locker room, so who knows exactly what kind of opportunity he's going to get in WWE. But I still think they would be willing, like, he has enough guys in the roster already that has Vince's ear.
Yeah.
Who will vouch for him.
Right.
So, I think at least that would give him a foot in the door. Guys, of course, AJ Styles. Like, how could you not?
I mean, that's an interesting thing because AJ's kind of the biggest example of homegrown TNA star that they have.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's never seemed to use TNA as a springboard for bigger things. That's where he was. That's where he kind of... And that's not a, you know, common thing for TNA.
No.
So, would WWE be interested? Would he be interested?
Yeah, that's...
Would he keep the name AJ?
Yeah.
WWE has an AJ.
They do.
It's a girl.
They do. I don't know. I don't know. That one's, that's another one where I just... I don't know what either side would say. I'm just, you know, saying who I would like to see, really. Austin Aries is another one. I think it would be amazing in WWE.
Austin Aries is a big one I would like to see.
Absolutely. Those are the major ones off the top of my head that I would like to see that, you know, transcend over into WWE. I don't know if they would want Kurt Angle, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, that many DUIs, you know. Granted, I don't know what condition he's in right now. And yeah, there's so many matches that I would love to see Kurt Angle be involved in. Like, I would love to see him and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and Tyson Kidd and
and
maybe some Big E. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would be interested in all that. I just don't know how willing WWE will be to bring him back, given his recent history.
Yeah.
Same goes for Jeff Hardy.
I was going to say, what about Jeff Hardy?
Yeah, Jeff Hardy, he's better off now.
He is better off now.
And he left in, like, the height of popularity.
Mm-hmm.
That he'll, like, the highest popularity he'll ever see.
Yeah.
In his career.
Do you think if he returns to WWE, he can recapture anything close to that level?
Randy Orton did.
Yeah?
Randy Orton has two strikes on him. He's, quote-unquote, the authority's face of the company.
I know, but he is also... Randy Orton has been WWE this whole time.
True. Yeah.
You know, Jeff Hardy left. If they gave Jeff Hardy another contract, would the crowds react like they once did?
I think so.
Would WWE let him have the moments that he once did?
He would have to prove himself.
Okay. For a little.
I don't think, not off the bat, they'll have the nostalgia pop,
mm-hmm.
And then he'll be regulated. Like, kind of like how Christian, when he came back to TNA.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of had to serve his penance for TNA,
mm-hmm.
and he was on ECW for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it was forever before they even had him anywhere near to what he is now, whenever he does show up.
Right.
So I think there's going to be an element of that. It's probably with all these guys. It's going to be an element of that on top of his history, legal problems, and, mm-hmm. you know, as far as, like, you know, substance abuse and stuff like that.
Do you think there's any chance of Matt?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all?
TNA won't even take him. Or TNA won't even hold on to him.
Yeah.
So. I don't think they're, like, I, to be honest with you, if there's any interest, they would have maybe have done it already. Like, even now that he's, you know, straightened up and, you know.
You think WD would have?
Now, I don't know. Maybe they might do a one or two thing with a nostalgia Hardy Boys thing.
Yeah, as like.
If they brought back Jeff.
I could see WD wanting, getting Jeff back. I could see them getting Hardy Boys back. But Matt on his own?
No.
I just don't think WWE has the interest in that.
They don't have the interest in it, and I think they would be more willing to give Jeff more singles success than they would be
to give the Hardy Boys.
Well, to give Matt Hardy any sort of singles chance, you know, they and to be honest with you, they're probably bigger on that than they are on Hardy Boys.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, because like I said, Jeff was really popular when he left around that time.
No, I know. But would you bring Jeff right in back against CM Punk?
It would be an interesting storyline.
Because it's a whole different world, and it's a whole different CM Punk than when Jeff left.
It is. That would be a great, like, first feud back.
Mm-hmm.
He would have no chance of winning.
No.
You know?
No, he wouldn't.
He would have no chance at all to get that booking. But, I mean, yeah, that would be a great way to start off with, you know, a lot of interest.
Yeah. What about, Dudley Boys?
Dudleys, I would love to see that.
Yeah?
I would love to see them back, and honestly, I think WWE would be okay with it, to be honest with you. D-Von is, he left TNA.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing indie shows now, right?
I think so, yeah.
You know, and Bully Ray still pretty much running wild in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely would love to see them back.
And the other one was the members of Beer Money. Who? Yeah. That's kind of the other thing that TNA built.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, that is as homegrown as it gets for TNA.
Yeah.
You know, especially in TNA's brighter days, I was very enamored with both of those guys.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And so I'll be interested to see them running in the WWE stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be fair. We just named off, you know, take out Hogan because he wouldn't be there on a weekly basis. Kurt Angle probably wouldn't be there on a weekly basis. But, you know, each of these other guys is a reasonable weekly basis thing. We just cited 7-8 people. That, you know, I don't think WWE has any interest in signing 8 guys at that level of contract with, you know, that level of name to debut.
Especially when they're so high up on so many people coming up through NXT.
Mm-hmm.
They've really reinvested in their, you know, in their...
Well, that's Triple H.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But, you know...
So that's a lot of people jockeying for the same real estate.
Yeah. And right now, we are about to go into, hey, remember these guys that are only here a little bit at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. We're right on that, the cusp of that.
There's no room for new guys.
No.
So. Here is the big question via me.
Okay.
If you were WWE,
mm-hmm.
and would you, there is, I'm taking away the option to play it safe.
Okay.
And go with what you know will work, because I'm mad at that idea still, because I've seen, I'm mad at playing it safe. So, you have the money, what would you do with it? You have all these guys who are seemingly about to, you know, become free agents.
To be honest,
would you buy TNA?
No, I really wouldn't. Because what does Vince have to gain from it? Footage
for one thing.
I mean, that's helpful for some DVDs.
Okay,
I
feel like
packages and stuff like that.
I feel like WDB is all about footage. Like, you know,
I guess, yeah.
Just take, we watched, you know, special features on the Money in the Bank thing yesterday.
Yeah.
It was, they had footage of Miz walking around backstage right after he won
the belt. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been sitting on a hard drive for 3 years. Just because they might need to use it someday. So to be able to buy this library of footage that TNA has.
Okay, fine. Okay, I would buy it up to a certain point. Now, if they like start asking for something ridiculous, then
I would walk away.
I would walk away fine with it.
WWE, I would be more concerned. Very much has the power to walk away.
Would really just be more concerned with signing the talent that I want from that roster.
Okay,
you know, if you buy the company, you will be faced with the WCW situation where you basically have to figure out whose contract you want to keep and who you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to readjust those contracts. Now, if you just let TNA, like, you know, just fall by the wayside and just all those contracts become void, you can start fresh, you know.
Yeah.
Offer them something that you're more comfortable with within the company. That's less of a hassle for them. And really, they only have to deal with who they want.
Right.
They don't have to deal with Derek Bateman, whoever character he is now in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy that they didn't want in the first place.
Right.
You know, they don't have to deal with, you know, anyone else they don't want, you know.
So, right now, WWE has Raw, their biggest.
Yes.
That's their, you know, flagship right there. They have SmackDown, which has just become sad, shallow Raw.
Right.
That doesn't count. They have Main Event, which
is on TV for now.
Yeah.
Depending on how Ion feels about them.
But it's very much a C show.
Yes.
They don't, I mean, technically they still have Saturday Morning Slam, but it ended and it hasn't come back at all.
They still have superstars. Which is internet.
Yeah. And then they have NXT.
Yeah.
That's six shows.
Yes.
That they have. If they bought TNA, they would at that moment have a seventh wrestling show.
As far as the roster size, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think they'll stick to what they've got.
Do you think they would cut
just
out? Like,
yeah, they would just they would do exactly what they did with WCW.
I mean, well, here is what my. If WWE was to buy TNA, what I would like to see them do with it is give it to somebody to do weird, interesting, different stuff with.
Kind of like what they did with Paul Heyman and revitalizing ECW or restarting ECW.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of ECW, it was sad, third-rate
WWE
stuff. It was superstars-level stuff. But they gave it to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman said, let me take these guys that he saw something in. Mm-hmm. It's why we have CM Punk today.
Yeah.
And so to take TNA and just give it to somebody like Paul Heyman, you know, it's like, try it out. Half of the Cena rant was, I'm tired of the same, and I want this weird, interesting, different stuff.
Right.
Whether it works or not. So, Saturday Morning Slam was kind of like it. It was very much aimed towards the kids.
Yeah.
It was sillier matches. It was people winning through shenanigans.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was dipping your baby toe into the water of that. Like, it wasn't crazy or different. But, you know, and I would honestly, I would be fine if a different show, if, you know, what's it, if SmackDown started doing that. If SmackDown was the one where they tried something out and see if it worked.
Yeah.
And then kept Raw to keep the ratings that they wanted. You know, NXT, I totally get, is their development thing.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about how NXT is being run, what they're doing with it.
They're doing a really good job with it, too.
Yes, absolutely. I get having a Superstars main event kind of thing, a thing to have your mid to lower card talent really be able to display what they do.
And have an audience.
Yeah, there's not this, you know, squash kind of thing. After they've established what this character is, you know, but it's this kind of middle ground between Raw and NXT.
Yeah.
I get that. I get the necessity of that. But with, you know, and you don't have to buy TNA and do it, but just, you know, this is thought has come from the fact that, you know, they now, they have the money. Do they have the reasoning to buy up a whole nother roster?
Yeah.
And so if they do, I don't really care to see more of the same thing.
No, yeah, absolutely.
I see 3 to 5 to 8 hours a week of the same thing.
Right.
So yeah, something. And we've started to hear kicking rumors of the network again.
Yeah, they're aimed at it actually opening up in the first quarter next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be anywhere in the first 4 months.
Yeah. So if they're trying for that, you know, give it a shot there.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul Heyman's the guy I keep going back to, but, you know, Paul Heyman. Or if, you know, Stephanie had an idea for an All Divas show.
Yeah.
You know, and really let, like, extended Divas matches
where have an actual storyline.
Yeah.
Actually build towards something, yeah.
And you can, you know, tease those with your continual one match on Raw and your one match on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more going on this, you know, Divas on, you know, Ion, whatever you want to do. There's stuff you could do. Have a show that's all tag team matches, you know? Have a show where it's legal for anything to happen. Have a bring back the hardcore belt and have one show that's just all about people fighting for the hardcore belt. Mm. And, you know, it'd be chaos.
It would be.
And, you know, and I'm not saying any of this is good. I'm not having good, underutilized ideas here.
Yeah, you're just...
I'm just... Spitballing. Yeah, and any of those is like, that sounds terrible. I'll check it out.
Because
who knows? So, it's not the same old. And you know what? Honestly, I'm obviously going to keep complaining about this because this is my new, without shame, this is my new thing to be passionate about and stick a flag in.
Of course.
But I'm not going to seriously be angry about this till post-WrestleMania 30. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Surely they are very adamantly working on that. Has to be a successful event to end all ends. It's WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be working right now to be securing the names that they want on that card, to be securing the matches, to make sure the build-up to those matches are working, to get as many people to buy WrestleMania 30 as possible. They need to boast that as an unparalleled success. I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with it. Go for it. The day after WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
On something crazy pants time. You know, the week, because you can get the crazy thing. Like, you know, it's the day after WrestleMania 30. Something, the celebration. And the, remember the day after WrestleMania 29? It was a good day.
Yeah, it was.
So, but pretty quickly after WrestleMania 30.
2 weeks after WrestleMania.
2 weeks after WrestleMania 30.
You want something crazy pants.
I want something crazy pants to happen.
All right.
That's my goal.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I feel better now.
I'm glad.
Do you have anything else to say?
Well,
I feel like I've been ranting.
No, I'm good. I'm glad you feel good about that. You know why?
Because
it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's
First,
we go to our buddy Blair. He's at BD Inside Pulse on Twitter. We have our countdown, our review through every WrestleMania between now and WrestleMania 30 that we're putting out there every week. So there's a nice plug. Yes. In reference to that, of the seven WrestleManias that we've had so far, who is our favorite wrestler who's never main evented and isn't Ricky Steamboat, which is
hard because that was Chris's easy answer.
It was. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Boom. Yeah, they haven't been the main event yet.
Not yet, but who's never main evented?
No, wait. From the seven WrestleManias so far.
Alright, well then I will ask the question, who's your favorite wrestler who has never gone on to main event WrestleMania?
Oh, dear Lord.
That you've seen in these first seven.
That's really
I don't know difficult. If that's what he's asking.
I was really set on Bret Hart.
Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, yeah.
No, you will not. No. I would say I was strongly considering Roddy Piper, although I think he technically main evented the first one. He was in that group of 19 people in the main event.
He was.
So in that case, I'll probably say Mr. Perfect.
I guess he didn't. Okay.
No, he, I mean.
Good call.
That's like, you know.
Good call.
He's been, I said on one of the earlier podcasts.
Owen really didn't, did he? Like, he had the match against Bret.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really the main event, I don't think.
Yeah. So.
I don't think. I could be wrong. We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there yet, so I don't think so, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to go with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, regardless of what Blair's intent was.
Okay, but now I'm asking you. This is my male sex
submission. Well, I still don't care.
This is what happens when you insist the male sex ends. I've submitted to the male sex.
Oh, God. Participants of Class Ring Attire is not eligible for the male sex.
Really? Because we've had a lot of people on here who we also let it be in the male sex.
Not while they're on the male. Well, not while, while they're not.
Nah.
Shut up.
You could also, I think you could also say Ted DiBiase.
Yeah. Technically, Ric Flair has. But technically, he has.
He's been in a main event because it's the double main event.
I know, but.
And.
Come on. Give it to me.
But he wasn't in the seven WrestleManias so far. He was in WrestleMania 8, which
we just recorded. Yeah.
You will be able to hear by the time you hear this. Yes. WrestleMania 8 will be allowed, but at the asking of this question, yeah.
Oh, definitely wasn't Big John Studd. I never liked him.
Yeah?
I don't know.
You can take all my answers because I got a new one.
Okay.
Bobby Heenan. He technically wrestled in one of those matches. Making him a wrestler?
Very true.
And I do enjoy me some Bobby Heenan.
I know you really, really do.
I do.
The Red Rooster.
No, you did not.
I really, no.
You're lying to yourself and to me.
I am. Next is our buddy Jason. He asked, do you think we could get a Libertarian versus Tea Party argument between Zeb Coulter and the newly suited Kane? Might as well. See, here's the difference, though. Zeb Coulter's a character, okay? So I'm not so sure if Dirty Dutch's politics are necessarily in line with that of Zeb Coulter.
Yeah.
Kane is a real-life libertarian. Like, Glenn Jacobs, like, he's got stuff on YouTube. Like, you know, he was a keynote speaker at something.
Yeah.
And it was really good. He might have swayed me into the Libertarian Party, actually. So there's the difference there. Could we see it? Possibly. Not so sure they're going to get into Kane's politics.
Yeah,
looks like a senator, but
part of it is, you know, what all they're going to do with this corporate Kane, Citizen Kane character.
And let's be honest, a big time corporate type person really wouldn't be a libertarian.
Yeah.
They're pretty much hands-off type people.
And I don't know how much WWE, the company, wants
to promote
the Libertarian Party.
Well, he would be a bad guy.
He would be a bad guy.
But so would Tea Party.
Yes.
So would Zeb Coulter.
So I'm going to go with my official answer being, don't hold your breath, but why not?
Fair enough. I will accept that answer as well.
Sort of a sure, shrug, yeah, okay kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. That gift for you?
That's gift for me.
Gift for you.
Gift for. I just thought you were just saying gif all a lot.
No, I said good for you. Okay. And you've said yes, so no take backsies.
Fine.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet every Monday. Have a big old time doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, follow us, tweet us back. It's fantastic. It makes the Raws bearable.
Yes. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com. If you still want the lost episode that never made it to iTunes, email us and we'll send it to you. Also, if you want a Christmas card, send us an email and we'll get you a Christmas card.
We are also on iTunes. Yes. So look us up there, Classy Ring Attire. You subscribe. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
You review it. It really helps us out. We'd be really appreciative.
Yes. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. While you're there, go ahead and check out all the great columns by me, Joel, our buddy Jeff, Blair. I think he's going to be doing something here soon, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And just read everything on there.
And finally, we continue, as we mentioned before, yes, the journey through the WrestleManias. So WrestleMania 8 should be up by the time you're listening to this. So you get those by subscribing to us on iTunes, and they'll be downloaded and automatically into your regularly scheduled Classy Ring Attire feed.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!